to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The Red Hen, because when the Department of Justice is Orwellianly unjust, even petty justice seems better than no justice.
The Donald J. Trump Foundation for Civility and Discourse, a subsidiary of the Donald J. Trump Charitable Foundation for not donating to charity, in conjunction with the Trump University Foundation for being a real university, Donald J. Trump Scholarship Fund for Faithful Husbands.
And Melania's jacket. Melania Trump is so tone-deaf, we dare not make a joke about her, for fear of mocking the disabled.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and though our teeth are clenched with the passion of rage, our voices are soft with the passive aggression of civility.
Last week, President Trump held a press conference trotting out the victims of violent crimes committed by undocumented immigrants in a demonizing effort to associate the entirety of immigrants with the violent atrocities of undocumented individuals.
President Trump also took the opportunity to make up more fictional statistics than the movie Bull Durham.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained an audio recording from the Hitler playbook, I mean press conference.
And as always, our Trump impersonator is a woman, because we hear he hates that.
Nobody is stronger on the border than Trump. Many people are saying Trump is very strong for having the strength to strongly separate families on the border, which is Democrats' fault, but also I get to take credit for. I am strong for having the strength to enforce strong stuff, but the part of the strong stuff that doesn't play well on TV is because Obama. I am the least racist person you know, and to prove it, I will now let a Mexicanista can lady talk.
My name is Maria, and I am from Honduras.
This is Mariachi Ben. She is a Honduradorian.
I am here today because my daughter Isabella was killed by an illegal immigrant.
Sadly, Estebien Barrissimo was killed by an illegal alien. I call them aliens because aliens are scary.
Isabella was the love of my life.
Izzy busy bo busy banana fan of foe fizzy me my mo mizzy blaminos, who was great but not as great as Trump, was killed by illegal aliens, which are just as scary as the alien from the movie Alien. Sigourney Weaver had an acre baby.
I feel lost without her. Not a day goes by.
Boring. I have tremendous empathy for your loss, Margarita Mondays at Mexican restaurants where my cabinet members get booed, but I am so not racist that I have to introduce another not white person who isn't Honda Roguin. I have a black.
My son Matt was murdered by the MS-13 gang.
It is horrible what happened to Mustafa.
Matt.
Matigua.
Matt.
Mutombo.
His name
Your
was...
Your son, Spike Lee Joint, was brutally murdered by illegal alien animals. And when I say animals, I mean the vicious, gross kind nobody likes, like snakes and alligators. Not the animals you keep as pets, like puppies and women.
Anyway, after my son...
Superfly Soul Brother.
Matt was killed, I...
Democrats made my black cry. While my black is crying because Obama, I will read some statistics, which must be true because I'm reading them from a piece of paper. Illegal alligator snake aliens murdered 1 million people in the time it took me to call them illegal alligator snake aliens. Illegal alligator snake aliens commit crime at an even higher rate than 6-year-old black children who sell bottled water without a permit.
Wait a minute.
It's true. The fake news claims that illegal alligator snake aliens have a lower crime rate than the native born. But if that's true, then why are brown people so scary?
Wait a minute.
What the fake news doesn't tell you is that illegal alligator snake aliens commit 100,000% of all crimes not committed by other people.
Those animals!
Thank you to my props of color. Nobody makes better use of black pawn pieces than Trump. Now I will autograph the pictures of your dead children because nothing says empathy like my obnoxious signature plastered on a photographic monument to your dead loved ones.
Last Last week, while speaking on the House floor, California Democratic Congressman Ted Lieu attempted to play an audio recording of detained children who were forcibly separated from their families. The audio documents children crying for their parents and pleading to be allowed to contact relatives. Congressman Liu's attempt to play the audio was gaveled down by Committee Chair Karen Handel, who cited House Rule 17, which prohibits the use of audio from electronic devices.
Barely Audible Whisper wanted to do a Profile and Courage segment, highlighting Republican lawmakers who bravely stood up against the president of their own party in defense of immigrant children being brutalized at the border. Unfortunately, no such Republican exists, forcing us to repackage our Profile and Courage to highlight Karen Handel's brave defense of House Rule 17.
Sometimes there comes a time when it becomes time to take action, and we call that time Karen Handel time.
House rules prohibit awkwardly worded voiceovers.
Sorry, it's just really hard to word what you did in a way that makes you sound not horrible.
House rules prohibit negative editorializing during positive editorial puff pieces.
At a moment in American history where children, separated from their families, are being inhumanely detained in cages, it would be easy to defend defenseless children instead of defending House Rule 17. But Karen Handel never takes the easy road.
Just like it would have been easy as the vice president of a breast cancer foundation not to cut off access to breast cancer screenings.
Google it! That was an obscure but witty reference.
Humanitarian crises come and go, but House Rule 17 is forever.
Dr. King once said that an unjust law is no law at all. But, as best as I can tell, Dr. King never spoke out against arbitrarily enumerated bureaucratic procedural regulations.
The moral arc of history bends slowly, but it always bends towards House Rule 17.
That was probably my fault. I shouldn't have brought Dr. King into this.
I have a dream!
Oh, God, no!
That my four children will live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their strict adherence to House Rule 17.
Indeed, as the moral weight of this historical moment confronts us, it takes a special kind of person to choose now as the time to stand up for House Rule 17.
I'm not saying the voices of brutalized children are unimportant. They're just not as important as House Rule 17.
Surely, House Rule 17 has never had a champion as stubbornly committed as Karen Handel.
Even though there is no current plan for reuniting the children that are indefinitely interned in cages with their families, I'm assuming this will all work out. And when this current problem somehow magically solves itself, these children will be grateful to have been deported from, or orphaned in, or whatever, a country where House Rule 17 holds the sacrosanct place of honor that arbitrarily enumerated bureaucratic procedural regulations deserve.
When history highlights the inhumanity of our current human rights crises, it will surely skewer Karen Handel's transparent misuse of an obscure House regulation to silence the voice of the victims of...
House regulations prohibit prejudging the judgment of inevitable historical judgment.
But if, for some reason, some historian does some study on the history of House Rule 17, Karen Handel will be the hero who courageously fought to enforce the circumstantially inappropriate use of the arbitrarily enumerated bureaucratic procedural regulation forever enshrined into the obscure manual of obscure regulations that is House Rule 17.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to rigorously enforce House Rule 17.
In horrifying news for all fans of checks and balances, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy announced this week that he will be retiring at the end of July.
Also horrifying, Donald Trump will have the opportunity to select his replacement, and most likely have the Republican majority Senate pass them through before the 2018 elections.
Also horrifying, the qualifications for a justice are completely unspecified by anything other than tradition. They don't even have to hold a law degree.
Also horrifying, Donald Trump has a history of selecting the worst possible person for any job where he gets his say.
And so, in preparation for the worst, Barely Audible Whisper gives you 5 actual candidates with judicial experience who Trump would probably love.
Hi, I'm Judge Jeanine Howard. Look, Trump could have his pick of judges who've gone light on rapists. I know the Stanford guy, Aaron Persky's available. But here's why he should choose me. I once sentenced a rapist who pled guilty to 45 days in jail and 250 hours of community service at a rape crisis center. My reason? The 14-year-old victim was not a virgin. And I find that more unsettling than an 18-year-old named Sir who forcibly had sex with her, who, by the way, was awaiting trial for a different rape. Whoop-de-fucking-doo! You put me on the Supreme Court, y'all!
Hi, I'm Judge David Barrett from the great state of Georgia. Y'all know I'm gonna uphold the Second Amendment because I'm the judge that pulled a revolver in the courtroom. I admitted later that I was making a poor rhetorical point when I said to a sexual assault victim that she might as well shear her lawyer because she was killing her case. Well, since nobody appreciated my humor, I resigned. Which means I'm available to be your next Supreme Court Justice.
Donald Thompson, Oklahoma. As a man insecure about the perceived size of his penis, I think Donald Trump would truly relate to me. I was convicted in 2006 on 4 counts of indecent exposure after I repeatedly used a penis pump while adjudicating cases. I got caught because a court reporter kept hearing the shh, shh sound the damn thing makes. Didn't help that I'd exposed myself to her 15 times. Anyway, I think it'd be fun to sit next to Clarence Thomas. See if he keeps quiet with all that shh, shh going on.
Yeah, whatever. I'm Carol Fineman. I don't really give a shit about any of this. I got promoted one time and hated it, so I just let all the criminals go free so they'd give me my old job back. So no, I don't want to be on the Supreme Court, and if I'm selected, I'll just phone it in every day. Probably decide everything by a coin flip. So, given Trump's history of giving education jobs to people who hate schools and environmental jobs to people who hate the environment, he's probably gonna pick me.
Real talk. You think Trump's immigration policy is anti-child? Zero tolerance? Please. I invented that shit. 10-year-old girl sets her house on fire. The landlord doesn't want to press charges. Too bad. I put that dumb bitch in a detention center for a month. Make fun of teacher online? That's 3 months. I got thousands of kids put in juvie. Why? Got a little kickback from the detention center that made me a millionaire. Why else? Yeah, I got caught. Yeah, I'm doing this from jail. Who gives a fuck? You think Trump's above pardoning me and then putting me the fuck on SCOTUS? I'm Machiavelli and I'm his goddamn wet dream!
Jesus, Trump's probably gonna put that guy on the bench.
Hey, there's no job requirements. Maybe he'll choose somebody from TV, like Simon Cowell instead, or Dennis Rodman?
We can only hope.
Yeah.
Iconic American company Harley-Davidson announced that it will be moving some of its production plants overseas to avoid the new 31% European tariffs raised from 6% in the EU's retaliation against steep tariffs imposed on the EU by President Trump.
That story once again, cause produces effect.
For more on this, Barely Audible Whisper turns to our full-time economist and weekend bike enthusiast, Eugene Poser.
Call me Spike.
No.
Yeah, but I'm a real badass.
Shut up, Eugene.
Please don't yell at me. Here's my report. Badass bike correspondent Spike here, riding my hog, looking for trouble, and reporting on the microeconomic effects of President Trump's macro and economic tariff policies. Born to be what? I swallowed a bug. I'm afraid. I don't want to die.
Blaming Trump for the consequences of his policies is bullshit. This is Harley Davidson's fault, somehow.
That's Piper. He's a member of the Bikers for Trump. He's so cool.
Harley Davidson used to be too badass to submit to the pussy-ass fiscal realities of the marketplace.
So you're saying that Harley Davidson should ride out the tariffs and get it right out?
Nah, man! I'm saying Harley Davidson should punch the EU tariffs in the face and then bang the EU's wife!
That is the coolest economic analysis ever. Unfortunately, it is also the most flawed.
What'd you say, bitch?
Oh, dear. Viper seems upset at my constructive criticism of his flawed protectionist economic paradigm. I'm even more afraid now than I was when I swallowed that bug.
There's nothing flawed about my analysis! Tariffs should punish other countries without in any way negatively affecting America!
Don't hurt him, Viper!
That socket wrench. It's a super cool double entendre, meaning a tool, but implying a vagina.
Shut up, socket wrench! I'm tired of your globalist economic philosophy! You don't believe in economic protectionism, but when I go to kick this liberal pussy's liberal ass, suddenly you're a liberal pussy's liberal ass protectionist!
I'm leaving you, Viper!
Socket wrench is what they call Viper's old lady. It's like a girlfriend, but with more domestic violence and methamphetamine.
All you ever do is mangle the economic buzzwords you hear on Lou Dobbs. I'm Spike's old lady now.
I will kill that economist deader than Obama-era regulations killed this economy.
Actually, Obama oversaw an economic recovery that trended consistently upward for 8 years.
You tell him, Spike. Obama rebuilt this economy better than a rebuilt transmission.
What would you know about it, socket wrench? Your stock portfolio yields less diversity than a Bikers for Trump rally.
At least I knew better than to invest in Bitcoin. You economics degree from Trump University having Lou Dobbs misquoting Closet Kawasaki crotch rocket rider.
I rode a crotch rocket one time because I was curious.
So you admit you're a crotch rocket curious.
After their fight was finally over and Socket Wrench was discharged from the hospital, Socket Wrench and I hit the road in search of a badass adventure with prudent economic analysis.
And myth.
We met other Bikers for Trump.
Well, I voted for Trump because he was strong on jobs and looks out for a working man. Since Trump took office, I lost my job and the bank foreclosed on my house. Goddamn Democrats!
Their economic analysis was questionable at best.
Who cares? They have myth.
We rode to West Virginia, where I interviewed a coal miner at a bar to get a perspective of a worker whose Trump's protectionism is actually intended to protect. That interview wasn't very productive on account of his black lung.
That story once again, cause produces effect.
Who cares? He had myth.
But his wife, who also has black lung, gave an inspiring karaoke performance.
I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter.
Who cares? She didn't have meth.
It feels a little strange having an old lady, especially since she's younger than me, even though she looks older than me on account of the meth.
What'd you say, bitch?
She beats me up a lot, since she is way more experienced at domestic violence than I am on account of the, meth. I also found out I don't really care for meth, but mostly it's been cool.
Born to be wild!
I swallowed a bug.
Born to be wild!
I don't care if I die! I don't want to be Spike anymore!
Former NSA contractor, Reality Winner, pleaded guilty this week.
Reality Winner? I think we know who wrote this sketch.
No, Dan did. And that's her real, actual, on the birth certificate name.
Oh, proceed.
Winner is accused of leaking classified documents to a news site and is pleading guilty of violating the Espionage Act as part of a plea deal.
I'm sorry. Her parents' last name is Winner, and they named her Reality. Hi, this is my baby daughter, Reality. Does she have any siblings? Are their names Sweepstakes and Fantasy Football?
To answer these questions and more, we turn to biographer, What's an Anal Bead For?
Dan did write this sketch.
Hi, I'm Watson Analbead 4, and I recently sat down for an in-depth interview with Reality Winner, who I was surprised to find is not a racehorse. One thing became evident as I got to know Ms. Winner. She should never have been given any kind of security clearance. The woman is an absolute open book, which is great for a biographer, but not so much for intelligence work. No topic was off limits, and she frequently volunteered surprising yet useless facts about herself mid-thought. With that out of the way, here is an excerpt from my interview.
Are you Watson?
Please call me Mr. Analbead 4.
Okay. Are those carrots?
Yes, I was confused about something.
Can I have one?
I don't think I can give it to you. You could sharpen it into a shank.
To answer your question, I once organized a food fight in 8th grade.
There wasn't a question.
I was careful not to schedule it on Spaghetti Day, but still, they wouldn't let me walk at graduation.
Okay. My first question, which I'm now asking, is where did your name come from?
Well, my mom got to name my sister Brittany, and so my dad got to choose my name. Also, I'm a painter. It's just a hobby. I like painting Jesus, Nelson Mandela, and myself.
I struggle to connect the thoughts, but feel free to keep those tidbits coming, I suppose. Your father, how did he come to choose Reality?
He says he wanted a name that was aspirational. It would increase his chances of producing a success story. His words.
Not much of a challenge when your last name is Winner.
Right?
Actually, I think your mom nailed it. Brittany Winner is a great name.
Well, Dad saw a t-shirt that said, I coached a real winner at Lamaze class, and that's when he came up with Reality.
And you were born in 1991?
That's correct. I got a full scholarship to Texas A&M Kingsville, but turned it down and joined the Army.
Yes. So in 1991, you were named Reality Winner, and then just a few years later, Survivor happened, and your name now immediately conjures thoughts of reality TV competitions.
I had a boyfriend in high school, Carlos, who was really struggling. I told him if he wanted to keep dating me, he had to get a job and maintain a C average in school.
You gave a boyfriend academic requirements?
He also had to read a number of books per week.
That's entirely irrelevant, but I love it. Let's talk about your job.
I think it's crazy that if there's information that would do the world some good, we're supposed to keep it secret.
But you worked for the NSA. That's what they do.
Well, maybe that's what they shouldn't do. On Facebook, my name was rejected. I had to call myself Riesel. They thought Riesel Winner was a more realistic sounding name than Reality Winner.
Am I being pranked here?
So I heard this podcast, Intercepted, and the hosts were all like, careful with all the conclusions about Russia meddling in the elections. There's no hard evidence. And I'm sitting there on a document that's the hard evidence they were looking for, and I'm like, why shouldn't they know this? So I printed the document, stuffed it into my pantyhose, and took it out.
This is great. Keep going.
I teach CrossFit. Do you ever do CrossFit?
My experience has told me that if I say yes, I don't have to listen to a sales pitch on CrossFit. So yes.
Isn't it the best?
The best!
I also do yoga. I have this great instructor who's also a friend.
Can we get back to...
He's funny. He said, I bet you dominate that military shit. They fucking love you, don't they? He totally gets me.
Does your yoga instructor swear a lot?
Oh, all the fucking time.
I'll have to talk to him. But back to your leaking documents to a podcast.
That very same day, James Comey got fired.
The day your yoga instructor swore a lot?
Probably, but I meant the day I took the documents.
Right.
So then once they figured out it was me who took the documents, they started searching everything and found all the stuff I'd written. I've smashed at least 3 cell phones.
Because you were upset about the investigation?
No, just overall, over time. 3 phones for sure. Like the last one, I was really frustrated and wasn't doing what it was supposed to, so I screamed, how hard is it to be a phone? And I threw it against a wall.
At some point, I'll learn to stop trying to connect your non sequiturs.
So they found all this stuff, like when I wrote, I want to burn the White House down. And they're using all this stuff against me from phone conversations with my sister. Like when I was joking with her about Orange is the New Black. I mean, I didn't even know that they were listening to everything I said on the phone.
Again, you worked for the NSA. That's what they do.
Yeah, well, I just never figured they'd think I was so interesting.
Are you kidding? Reality? I want the rights to your life story. This needs to be a movie. Guaranteed Oscar bait. We could do it like I, Tanya. Ooh, Margot Robbie could play you!
That skinny bitch? Please, it's gotta be someone who looks like they can fuck up a guy.
Fine, but can I have the rights?
I don't know, Mr. Analbead 4. I should really check with my lawyer first.
Oh, so now you're going to be careful?
When I'm in Bible study here in jail, I ask so many questions, it drives the instructor crazy. The other inmates like it because it gives them a chance to get extra sleep.
Not to sound like my teenage daughter, but... what even is your life?
I have a picture of Nelson Mandela stuck to my wall with toothpaste.
I'm just gonna stop talking and let you say whatever you want to say.
My car is a Nissan Cube covered in bumper stickers. My favorite one says, you just got passed by a toaster.
At this point, the guards unfortunately caught on that I was a biographer and forced our conversation to end. It seemed, for some strange reason, they were concerned about the things reality would freely tell anyone who would listen. I can't imagine where they would get that idea. Regardless, this biographer is hooked. I look forward to bringing you another dose of reality.
The Supreme Court upheld the third variation of President Trump's Muslim ban in a 5-4 partisan decision that chose to ignore the anti-Muslim rhetoric Trump used to justify his executive order in favor of capitulating unchecked authority to the president on issues of national security, despite an utter lack of evidence supporting the underlying claim that travelers from the banned nation pose an actual threat to national security.
The Supreme Court upheld the Muslim ban because without it, America is currently not quite racist enough.
For more on this story, Barely Audible Whispers Supreme Court correspondent Mohammed Al-Salam filed this report.
Hello, I'm Mohammed Al-Salam reporting...
Hold it right there, Mohammed! You will hereby immediately be deported to wherever the hell you came from.
But I come from Atlanta.
Tell it to the judge. Attention all units, I have a 9-11 in progress.
You must be joking.
Of course I'm joking. You're not going to get to see a judge.
I'm responding to the APB about the 9-11 in progress, but looks like you got it under control.
I better call off the 9-11. Attention all units, the tower has fallen. I repeat, the tower has fallen.
Am I the tower in this scenario?
It's even worse than I thought. He's spying on our jargon.
I bet you'd love to know why we call it a 9-11 and report it to your bureau back home.
Yes, because I'm a journalist and it's my job to report information to my bureau back home, which is Atlanta.
You just don't know when to shut the hell up, do you?
Tase him!
But the fallen tower metaphor doesn't fit the situation!
Excuse me, officers. I hate to interrupt the vital, not at all racist, national security work you're doing, but I need to report the presence of a small black child.
I have a visual on the toddler and can confirm the toddler is black. I repeat, the toddler is black.
Attention all units, I have a hashtag permit patty in progress.
Yeah, at least that metaphor fits the situation.
Be advised, suspect is considered adorable and dangerous.
Ah! It's an intact Hispanic family!
I have visual confirmation of an intact Hispanic family. I repeat, an intact Hispanic family.
Attention all units, I have an Obama's fault that we're doing this in progress.
I hate to interrupt, but there's a guy across the street brandishing a semi-automatic assault weapon.
My God, he could be a terrorist.
Or gang member.
It's that white guy over there.
False alarm. It's just a white guy.
It's called a Second Amendment jerk.
They come to our country but refuse to respect our values.
We can't be distracted by the armed-to-the-teeth white guy over here. We got an intact Hispanic family to worry about.
I better make sure the responding units bring enough cages. Attention all units, be advised, intact family is Hispanic and stereotypically large.
The Supreme Court's 5-4 decision to uphold President Trump's travel ban on individuals from Muslim countries pitted freedom of religion and against discrimination against the independent authority of the president in defense of national security.
Even if the national security rationale is completely made up.
In his separate concurring opinion, Justice Anthony Kennedy, long considered the court's least ideological and therefore most critical swing vote, seemed to struggle with Case's competing rationale.
In other words, he courageously proclaimed the real right of real people to really exercise their individual religious beliefs, before cowardly capitulating to the president's made-up national security claims.
And now, quoting directly from his concurring opinion throughout this entire interview, is Justice Anthony Kennedy, a.k.a. the Cowardly Lion.
There are numerous instances in which the statements and actions of government officials are not subject to the judicial scrutiny or intervention. That does not mean these officials are free to disregard the Constitution and the rights that it proclaims and protects. The oath that all officials take to adhere to the Constitution is not confined by those spheres in which the judiciary can even correct or comment upon what those officials say or do.
So why didn't you vote against the ban?
In light of the substantial deference that is, it must be accorded to the executive and conduct of foreign affairs.
You stated clearly that the government officials must respect free exercise of religion.
The First Amendment prohibits the establishment of religion and promises the free exercise of religion. From those safeguards and from the guarantee of freedom of speech, it follows there is freedom of belief and expression. It is urgent that officials adhere to these constitutional guarantees and mandates in all of their actions, even in the sphere of foreign affairs.
So why didn't you vote against the ban?
In light of the substantial deference that is and must be accorded to the executive and conduct of foreign affairs.
So even though you believe that the government must protect and defend the freedom of religion?
Our government remains committed always to the liberties the Constitution seeks to preserve and protect, so that freedom extends outward and less.
You voted against those principles anyway because...
There are numerous instances in which the statements and actions of government officials are not subject to judicial scrutiny or intervention.
And?
In light of the substantial deference that is, it must be accorded to the executive in conduct of foreign affairs.
You choose to...
I join the court's opinion and...
In these perilous times, America needs a superhero who has the power to get things done.
Unfortunately, Republicans have all the power, and they're more chicken shit than the actual feces of an actual chicken. So America will have to settle for the useless efforts of a Democrat.
Barely Audible Whisper presents the next anticlimactic adventure of our gender non-specific, multi-ethnic, carbon-neutral, popular vote-winning hero, the Blue Wave.
Philosophically opposed to a speeding bullet, less relevant than a locomotive, able to identify but not prosecute Russian money laundering and Trump-bone tall buildings, it's a meme! It's a bumper sticker. It's the Blue Wave.
Holy Muslims at the airport. I can't find the Blue Wave anywhere. His Twitter activity is through the roof! He must be stuck in the echo chamber.
So hashtag Melania's jacket says, I don't care to you, but kicking at Sarah Sanders out of the hashtag red hen is too mean. When will hashtag MAGA hypocrisy ever end? And send!
Holy soapbox, Blue Wave. You've been doing nothing but angry tweeting for days.
Indeed, I have, Woke Wonder. There's just so much conservative outrage against liberal outrage. But where was all their so-called outrage when we were all outraged at the actual outrage of the outrageous policies of this outrageous president? The only thing more outraging than the original outrage at the original outrageousness is the outrageous outrage at our original outrage.
Holy bandwagon effect, Blue Wave. I'm outraged by their outrage, too.
We've got to get out of this echo chamber, Woke Wonder. There are just too many enraging hashtag MAGA tweets to ignore. James Wood just encouraged people to buy guns while accusing Maxine Waters of inciting violence.
Totally overrated in his prime and irrelevant since delivering the only not memorable performance in Casino Blue Wave. There's never time to care about what James Wood thinks. But especially not now. America needs us.
Must resist urge must to resist tweet urge zinger resist about tweet only zinger non-memorable performance in casino.
Holy, at least he's not in a podcast no one listens to. Obvious retort you're setting yourself up for, Blue Wave. You leave me no choice. I'm turning off your phone.
Just remembered he was the worst actor in any given Sunday. Lawrence Taylor acted circles around him. And Lawrence Taylor is a football player with brain injuries.
Holy, biggest anticlimax since James Woods in Endgame, Blue Wave. I'm gonna break us free from this echo chamber by pressing down with my thumb.
Great work, Woke Wonder. Quick, to the voting booths. It appears I tripped over my own cape again.
Holy Hillary Clinton, Blue Wave! You can't keep getting in your own way!
Fear not, Woke Wonder! Trump is so bad, there's no way we can lose in November. Quick, to the voting booths! It appears I tripped over my own cape again.
Holy 2016, Blue Wave! That's what we said in 2016.
Good point, Woke Wonder! We won't get overconfident this time! We will take nothing for granted! I've got an idea! Time to deploy the Eggs of Justice!
Holy eggs with the name Robert Mueller written on them, Blue Wave! Those are just eggs with the name Robert Mueller written on them.
Right you are, Woke Wonder! We're going to take all these eggs, and we're going to place them in that one basket!
Holy metaphor, less original than the acting of James Woods, Blue Wave. We can't rely on Robert Mueller!
Right again, Woke Wonder. We can't campaign on hating Trump alone. We must stand for something. We must have a positive message of justice and equality for all. And we must deliver that message in a way that inspires people to vote in the Blue Wave in November.
Holy obvious point dressed up as a profound revelation, Blue Wave. How are we gonna get our message out?
On Twitter, Woke Wonder! Quick! To the echo chamber! It appears I tripped over my own cape again!
Holy plot coming full circle, Blue Wave! The plot just came full circle!
Stay woke, America!
Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, a NPR parody podcast made possible by the very real people, writer, co-host, and actor Dave Baldwin, co-host and actress Molly Brown, writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown, actress Emily Sams Brown, actress Corey Burns, actor Robin Ward, and actor in the Blue Wave himself, Michael Morgan. And an extra special writing credit this episode to retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy for writing the Cowardly Lion sketch with me. Please follow us and like us and subscribe to us on social media and share us with your friends. Have a very happy 4th of July weekend. We are taking the 4th of July week off. We will be back the week after that. God save America.
Stay woke, America!
Hubris!